91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Most everyone is baffled by medical costs at some point. Bills can be mistaken or unexplained, and procedure cost may fluctuate wildly from facility to facility. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We'll learn about Price Check Florida, a searchable online database to make it easier to share prices and find prices for common procedures. WLRN is a member of the Price Check Partnership and will speak with WLRN Miami Herald healthcare policy reporter Sammy Mack about it, as well as Linda Quick, the former president of the South Florida Hospital and Healthcare Association. The Price Check Florida Project is an online interactive service. Learn more, that's next. Topical Currents after the news. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Tuesday edition. And this afternoon we discuss the cost of regional medical services and procedures. Healthcare prices vary widely, even within the same city.
Even within the same hospital at times, and with insurance plans and copays. So today we learn about WLRN Price Check. It's a crowdsourced, searchable online database which collects price information from consumers' medical bills.
WLRN is a member of the Price Check Partnership with Health News Florida and Station WUSF in Tampa.
Joining us now is WLRN Miami Herald public health policy reporter Sammy Mack. Welcome to you, Sammy.
Thanks, Bonnie. Hi, Joe.
We've been hearing your promos of this, so we're ready to learn more about it.
Well, I can't wait to tell you guys about it.
Also with us is Linda Quick. She's the longtime former president of the South Florida Hospital and Healthcare Association. Its members include hospitals, medical centers, universities, and community organizations in our four-county region.
She's now the president of Quick Bernstein Group, and we welcome you, Linda Quick.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you. So, Sammy, let's start with you, and let's learn about Price Check. What is it, and how does it work? Why is it? Let me say that.
Why is it? That's important question. Okay, so if you've heard the promos, you've heard me say a version of this, but Price Check is a tool that we are using that we have on our website. You can see it at wlrn.org/pricecheck. And what it does is two things. One, it lets people upload information about what they paid or if they have insurance, what insurance paid on their behalf for medical services. You can do that using, if you've got a bill or something called an explanation of benefits, which is that letter that you get that looks like a bill but says this is not a bill.
The one you can't understand.
Right, exactly. okay. And we've got some tools to sort of help walk you through how to get your information in there. And then two, it turns around and becomes something that you can search. So if you are curious what people in the area paid for, say, an MRI, you can look up what that costs and you'll get a bunch of responses back. And before we really launched this as something that you can contribute to, we did call a bunch of hospitals and healthcare providers and imaging centers and lab centers and ask them if they wanted to just, you know, ahead of this, tell us what their cash price is. So you can also see in the places that chose to participate what they charge if you're just walking in and you just want to pay cash, or if you don't have insurance, what that cash price is. So you've got a mix of information there.
So just a little history. How does this program differ from the ones in California and Pennsylvania?
Okay, good question. So we are the third public radio group to be using the Price Check tool. It actually started, it's been developed by a woman named Jeannie Pinder, who was a health reporter herself with the New York Times and is really, really invested in and passionate about transparency in healthcare prices. And so she developed this thing that allows people to crowdsource their information. And part of the reason she did that and part of the reason we were interested in working with the Price Check tool is because it turns out prices are really hard to come by and really good data is hard to come by. There are secrecy clauses, non-disclosure agreements around what negotiated rates are for insurance companies and hospitals. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But if you're trying to understand how things work and you're not somebody who has access to that information, it's really hard to know. So her idea was, let's crowdsource it. Every patient owns that information. It is sent to you. And if we get enough entries from people who can tell us what they paid, we might be able to start to see some meaningful information about what things cost or how things are getting paid for or how it is affecting the market or the trouble that people run into.
Linda Quick, how do hospitals and medical centers view Price Check?
I think there's sort of a mixed reaction. One of the probably principal concerns is that it's totally voluntary. So you're only going to get information from people who are interested in sharing information. The State Hospital Association, the Florida Hospital Association, on its website has started publishing or making transparent, if you will, some of the information from the hospital's own data themselves. Our governor years ago started, after he got out of the hospital industry, but before he became governor, a group of outpatient clinics, and I've used to refer to them as Burger King for healthcare, but they only did seven things, but you would walk in and behind the lady at the desk was a list of those seven things and what they were charging for them. But price, cost and price are not necessarily the same thing, Joe. And there are $3 figures for every service or item. One is what it actually costs to produce it. One is what they charge whoever they send the claim to. And the third is what they get reimbursed. So part of the problem hospitals have is when you ask them for price, which price do you want? The input price of personnel, supplies, etc., that it costs them to make that, what they are billing Medicare, and of course Medicare and Medicaid tell you in advance what they're going to pay. So in some respects, for those patients, prices are set. And as Sammy pointed out, when you have an insurance policy, the insurance company has already negotiated what it's going to pay. So part of the concern hospitals have is how useful is this and for what percentage of the population is it useful given that so much is determined in advance.
Well, with these price check programs, do you see that leading to more uniform prices for the consumer?
Certainly the federal government does. The federal government is considering something they call price neutrality. Their idea is that they want to pay the same price regardless of the setting or the site. Now, a place like Miami gets a little nervous because the federal government says, well, maybe why should we pay more for an MRI in Hialeah than we do in Idaho?
Mm-hmm.
But here, you can pay one price for it if you're an inpatient at a hospital, one price if you're an outpatient in a hospital, one price if you're at a freestanding MRI center, and a fourth price if you're getting it at a doctor's office. So what the federal government is saying is that it ought to be closer to even, Joe, like what you say, you know, and it shouldn't be quite as disparate from one location to another or one site from another.
And what do providers say to that?
Well, the doctors who are doing things in their office, whether it's oncology, chemotherapy, or MRIs, think this is a good thing because they're hoping that their price will be moved up closer to that an institution might get. The hospitals are a little nervous because part of what goes into what they get paid for is the infrastructure, the power bill, the 24 hours, the emergency capability, things that a doctor doesn't have. And, of course, one of the things the doctor doesn't have to do that the hospital has to do is take all comers, whether they can afford to pay anything at all. So we, who do pay, are paying a piece for somebody who doesn't if we do it at a hospital. If we do it at a doctor's office.
Or a freestanding clinic.
Clinic that is not required by the government to take all comers. They can afford to charge less for it.
And you can even see from past iterations of this project in other places that when these freestanding imaging centers or labs or even physician groups get bought up by a hospital system, their costs go up. So you can see that influence of the cost shifting, moving even towards these centers as they become part of larger hospital systems, which is important because the structure of how hospitals work and function in communities is changing, and you see more movement to that sort of vertical integration that they will buy up the primary care practices, the testing centers, and it all becomes part of the same system, which has its benefits, but it also has its drawbacks.
Sammy, as Linda mentioned, of course, this is as good as the participants that take advantage of it and that take part in it. And it can be, it's not necessarily, not that it's not objective, but the people that participate are those who choose to participate. It is voluntary. First of all, how do we know that the information that we're getting is accurate?
That is such an important question. We make it very clear when you search our data where the data comes from. If it is self-reported or if it came from one of our phone calls directly to a provider. So one, you can sift that way. Two, when we're doing any of our pullout stories, any of our investigations, I am checking people's bills, looking at their EOBs with them, talking to them, fact-checking the information that are going into the stories that we're telling out of this. And also, we have made it very clear that if any of the providers or hospitals take issue with anything that they see on our site, they are encouraged to please get in touch with me and we'll figure out how to go from there. And we do know, based on some of our metrics on the website, that they have been looking at our site, and so far we have not heard any complaints from anybody.
When you say they, just explain, because we talked about it before, who is looking at the site?
Right. So based on the analytics that we have on the tool, so the sort of webmaster of this has been looking at how traffic is coming into the website, and she can see that there are visits coming from, for example, the Florida Legislature, the Department of Health, off of the servers, you know, the systems from most of the major hospital chains and most of the major insurers in the state. So they're looking at us. Some of them I've been hearing from a little bit, but so far I haven't heard anything about accuracy.
We're speaking about Price Check. It's a crowdsourced healthcare project with WLRN and a couple of other entities. With Sammy Mack, she's an award-winning journalist who covers healthcare policy for WLRN, and Linda Quick, the president of Quick Bernstein Connection Groups, formerly with the South Florida Hospital and Healthcare Association. We'll be right back.
And we're back 20 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's topical occurrence. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We continue our discussion about Price Check with reporter Sammy Mack and also healthcare expert Linda Quick. Sammy Mack, walk us through the Price Check process. Perhaps someone in our listening audience right now has a medical bill in hand. What should they do in order to take advantage of this system?
Okay, so the first thing you can do if you want to contribute and make our database stronger, is to go to WLRN.org/pricecheck. And you'll see there are two columns. The one on the left-hand side says contribute prices. And there's a thing here that says share your prices. And you can start typing in. If you look at your bill or your explanation of benefits, you'll see something, a line that says It's going to have a number on it. It might be a code. It might be something that describes a service. So MRI, lower back, no contrast. That sounds very wonky and it sounds a little complicated, but if you start typing it in, you'll notice that on our website, it starts to automatically fill in for you. So it kind of gives you an assist if you're online. If you've got a procedure code, not all explanations have them, but if you've got one, that's the most accurate way of putting it in. And then next, you can start typing in your doctor or hospital, and again, it should start to automatically fill in. So it helps you there. And then you have the option to tell us if you had no insurance or if you had insurance. And then the date and what was charged. So that number that if you walked in with no insurance, with nobody helping you pay, that is the thing that the hospital would say, this is what you are charged. If you have insurance, it is not what the hospital expects to be paid. That charge number is frequently referred to as kind of a made up number, although if you don't have insurance, it is very real. But if you have insurance, it doesn't have any real bearing on what ultimately gets paid for the service. And then this is the next really, really important number, what the insurance paid on your behalf. And that's the number that you own as an individual that I, as a reporter, have a really hard time finding any other way, because we have tried very hard to get negotiated rates. Even for, you know, public entities like the school district or the county can't get those for us because they are hidden behind non-disclosure agreements. So that's the magic number for me as a reporter. It's an important part of this database.
So first of all, I just want to say that you tomorrow are going to be taking everybody
yes.
through the process live on Facebook. Tell us about that in
yes.
case you just didn't understand. And also there's a video. Sammy has a video on the website that shows
you
how to do
it. We are trying
to
make this as easy as possible. Yes, there is a video web tutorial. We've got it online. And then tomorrow, if you have access to the internet, if you're on Facebook, if you go to WLRN's Facebook page at noon tomorrow, I will be live. This is a new thing that Facebook is doing, Facebook Live. We are experimenting with it. But I figure this is a chance to, in real time, with visuals, help people upload their bills. So bring your bills, bring your explanation benefits. Let's have lunch together in front of the computer screen and talk about costs.
And how do you ensure that this information is kept confidential and that you don't use these email addresses for anything? And how do you ensure that?
Okay, so if you are uploading information about your cost, procedure, all of that, those numbers, those prices, anything with a dollar sign next to it, will be public-facing and searchable. There's also a comments box here. So if you want to clarify something or say something publicly, that will be publicly facing. There is a question on there about your email address. The email address is only for me, and there is no other identifying information attached to this. You don't have to put your name in there. If you want to email me privately, you can email me at smack, so it looks like the word smack, at WLRNnews.org. Otherwise, just, you know, put your email in there, and that email is only for me and the reporters who are working on this project if we want to follow up with you.
And I just want to add, there are a lot of other useful links on the Price Check website for us to glean information about hospitals, and if you would just talk about some of those links.
Right. So on that landing page itself, which is WLRN.org/pricecheck, you will also find links to a bunch of the groups that have tried to get at quality metrics around comparing hospitals and providers. You will find links to other explanations about the project. If you have further questions, you will find all of our contact information. We have also already started doing some storytelling around price and cost, which you can find on our website. So there's a bunch of information there. And I want to be as accessible as possible. So feel free to get in touch.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in on the program, that's easy enough, with a question or comment, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, that's radio@WLRN.org. PriceCheck.org. Could this information be used possibly as a bargaining chip if you know that you're going to be, say, having a colonoscopy and you get on PriceCheck and see what other organizations are saying, and your doctor's office or medical center says it's X amount, you could say, well, I could go over here, you're way out of line, and use that as a bargaining chip.
We sure hope so.
I think price is one of the things that people use, Joe. I don't think it's necessarily the only thing people use. Going back to this issue of links, I mentioned earlier the Florida Hospital Association. The state of Florida has a website called healthfinder.gov. The federal government has a site that'll tell you how much Medicare is paying for the most frequently used diagnoses and services. So there are lots of places you can get a sense of what something ought to cost. But in general, there are probably three reasons why price isn't the most important thing people look at. First of all, most medical attention is something you have to have, not something you choose to use. So when your doctor says you need a colonoscopy, most of us don't go shopping. And the second thing is we assume he or she knows more than we do. I used to joke about the fact that most men I know more about how their cars work than how their bodies work. So they tend not to second guess the doctor. If he tells you you need this medication, this test, most of us are dependent on that second party, that physician's judgment. And then even if you are price shopping, if your doctor doesn't use that facility that costs less, if you're 45 miles or even 45 minutes away from that location, if it's not in your insurance plan, if your next door neighbor, your friend, your relative recommends something different than what you find on PriceCheck is the least expensive, you might decide not to necessarily use it. Now, can you say to the facility, you know, I saw on WLRN's website that down the street it only cost $185 and you're charging me $200. You might get them to move a little bit on the price. But the other piece is that each one of us, and this is why it's been so difficult to get this information, each one of us comes to the table or to the doctor's office with a different set of pre-existing conditions. We're a different age. We're a different ethnic group. We've had a different diet. So just saying the colonoscopy costs a particular amount on the website may or may not be terribly useful to you. It's informative, but it may not necessarily be useful.
Well, that brings up a good point, Sammy, that I want you to address, which is this is going to be talking about prices. And in fact, I did look up colonoscopy. It's one of the ones I checked, and I have all the prices and the
disparity. And you found that in this area there's a range from $600 to $5,000 on colonoscopy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, talking about the quality of the care. This is measuring the cost of the care.
This is measuring the cost of the care. And we would love to be able to pair this with quality metrics. Trouble is, it's really, really hard to come by. And if you talk to people in medicine, the metrics that are there are problematic. And so there's also this argument that that I've kind of heard some grumbling on the sidelines about our project with, which is that, well, you know, cost without quality is meaningless. And I would argue that that is not true. Cost with quality would be 1,000 times more meaningful. But it does let us start to ask the question, like, okay, all right, let's say quality is more expensive. What makes a $5,000 colonoscopy, $5,000 better than the $600 colonoscopy? And The Jeannie Pinder, the woman who started Price Check, has a really interesting story that she tells about being with, I think it was a group of radiologists, and they were talking about some sort of test, and they were asking, like, how do you measure quality around this test? And somebody was saying, well, it's the machine. You have to have a machine that can actually take the image. And somebody else was saying, well, you need a technician who knows how to use it. You need somebody who knows how to read it. And somebody apparently piped up in the back of the room and said, well, I can tell you that the worst quality is the one that the person didn't get because she couldn't afford it.
Right.
So it does. I do think that there is benefit to going after both of these things separately. If you can't have them together, I think there's still value.
And
there.
It would also indicate if one area is really out of line.
Yes.
Right.
With
right.
a marked change.
Right. And so with the Florida Hospital Association tool, which is a really interesting tool, and it is It is to date the most sort of advanced version of this that I've seen in Florida for hospitals. They look at averages. They have published the average paid price, which is more data than I had seen anybody else publish at that point. It doesn't tell you what you're going to pay with your insurance, but then again, neither does our tool. But if you're shopping around and you can kind of see what the averages are, maybe it does give you some leverage. The other thing to think about, too, is if you're looking at some of these things and it's not an emergency service, it's a preventative service like a colonoscopy or a mammogram or something, and you're looking around and shopping around, you may find that the cash price at one facility is actually less than what you would pay with your insurance if you factor in your deductibles and your copay and your coinsurance.
Oh.
So there is some value to it that way, too. For example, with the $600 to $5,000 colonoscopy range in South Florida, if you have a 20% coinsurance and a high deductible, you're going to pay less getting the $600 colonoscopy than you would with your insurance getting the $5,000 one.
The other thing that it shows on the website on that colonoscopy was some said physician fee, facility fee, and anesthesia not included. Pathology extra. Others said facility fee only, doctor's fee, anesthesia, and pathology not included. And there are just so many different combinations of, you know, things that are paid, things that aren't paid. It still leaves you pretty confused.
It's still very confusing. I agree with Sammy that when it is elective, it certainly doesn't hurt to look up the state
right.
site, the price check site, the federal government site. The problem, again, is that you don't know what all is included.
Exactly.
You can have two facilities within literally walking distance from one another and even the same ownership, and it may or may not have a different price. So it is one of the things to consider, but it's never the only thing to consider. It's just like when it comes to quality. My position on that is we want informed consumers. We just don't want them dependent on a single source of information.
We're speaking about Price Check. It's a project by WLRN in conjunction with, let me find it,
WUSF.
Okay. And we're going to take a short break. We're speaking with Sammy Mack. She's an award-winning journalist. And Linda Quick is the president of Quick Bernstein Connection Groups. We'll be right back.
And we return with today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We're talking about Price Check. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, it's easy enough, 1-800-743-9576, or email, that's radio@wlrn.org. We're speaking with Sammy Mack and Linda Quick.
I just have one question before we go to the calls, Linda. How has the Affordable Care Act, or Sammy, both of you, either of you, affected the landscape in Florida right now?
Well, the very well. 1.6 million people who were not formerly insured now have health insurance thanks to the Affordable Care Act. 92% of those had some subsidy that helped them pay their premium. 400,000 were in Hialeah alone. It was the single largest municipality group sign up in the country. So it's very well. And there are other changes besides availability of insurance that are changing the landscape in terms of how the providers respond to one another. As Sammy was talking about, more integrated care, more communication between and among levels of treatment. The downside for the state of Florida is our legislature and our governor's stubborn resistance to accepting additional federal funds that
the Medicaid.
Right, that could insure at least another million people, probably 60% of whom are in our four-county area.
And Sammy, did you want to add something?
Yeah, it has affected the state in ways large and small. And the changing landscape, when you look at the integration of practices, I think is one of the biggest ones that doesn't always get acknowledged. And the way the networks are designed is changing. You're seeing different ways that insurance companies and employers are playing around with how they get people into networks. There are a lot of things that the Affordable Care Act was hoping to fix that haven't entirely been fixed. Costs are still going up. Sharing information about people's healthcare is still a little tricky, even with electronic medical records everywhere. So it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag.
Okay.
Let's take a first caller if you'd like to join in. Again, 800-743-9576. First up, Miami Beach caller. Kathy, hi there. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have to applaud, especially Ms. Mack, for doing this. It's really excellent. It's a very, very complicated situation. She's doing a terrific job. I think that Ms. Quick, although certainly a fountain of information, may have, you know, she's an advocate for certain groups. She may have a certain perspective. The main thing that I want to point out and hear what your guests have to say is there's a real lack of transparency, and you've heard how it's difficult to get this information and there's non-disclosure. That's because the insurance companies will not pay the hospitals unless they sign a contract that says non-disclosure. Mm-hmm. And our legislatures are so controlled by the health insurance companies that they really are a big bar to having transparency. They don't want us to know, and they've made sure that if that hospital is going to get paid by insurance, they have to sign the contract that says non-disclosure. So the second thing is the power of insurance companies. Nonprofit hospitals obviously have to stay in business. They have to pay the lights. They have to pay for all the services. Doctors and nurses and healthcare providers deserve to be paid. But if you look at the huge, and it is a complicated situation, if you look at the huge profits that insurance companies make, and if you look at the fact that insurance companies are calling the shots in regards to those non-disclosure things, that's a big problem here. It's a huge corporate structure that controls everything, even to the fact that go to any legislature in the state, you'll find out that the health care insurance companies and the lobbyists are the ones that are really writing the legislation.
Okay, Kathy, let's let our guests respond. Sammy?
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to Linda on a few of these points here, because, Linda, I know you've spent a lot of time around policy. I will say, though, that the non-disclosure agreements, from what I can tell from the reporting that I've done, are a two-way street. So if you are a large hospital system that has a lot of power in a particular market, you're probably getting a better deal than the small one-off hospital. And it's probably in your interest to have your prices shielded the same way. And it's at the moment, it's not in anybody's interest as far as, you know, again, based on the reporting that I've been doing, I would love to know if anybody disagrees with this. But from what I can see, it is not in anybody's best interest to be the first hospital that just pulls the curtain back on everything, or they feel at least like it's not, that they would be at a competitive disadvantage. So it's not just the insurance companies that have these NDAs or that want these NDAs. It is, there is a two-way street there.
NDAs being non-disclosure agreements.
Thank you.
Okay, Linda?
I think there are the caller is certainly correct in the fact that insurance companies spend a lot of money on lobbying, and as do the hospital industry, and certainly the Florida Medical Association is pretty influential in Tallahassee as well. So having said that, it's like any other contract. If you don't have those privacy about price, you're accused by the federal government of antitrust and some kind of price fixing. So part of why they do these non-disclosure agreements is so that we don't end up with, as Joe suggested earlier, the potential of the lower price being paid end up being the floor that everybody gets paid. And so that's why they negotiate. And some insurance companies have more power because they insure more lives. Some hospitals have more power because they're bigger influence in a particular community. Some doctor groups have more patients. They may be able to command more, 5-10% premium over what other people would pay. But would get. But I, in general, the non-disclosure piece is not the issue. Actually posting all of the prices of every single thing, we now have the International Code 10, which is literally thousands of
8,000. I think. That's for the bundled, yeah.
Okay. Items, and no one's going to go look at that, so it wouldn't be particularly helpful to have it, is I guess my point.
Why is it that if you're insured by a large insurance company, a nationally known insurance company, and say your doctor wants you to have a bone density test, and you assume, well, I'm insured, that's going to be paid for, and you have the test, nobody mentions anything about price, and then 3 weeks later, you get a bill from that medical center for $1,000 when you thought your insurance was going to pay for it.
Yes. I think there's two possible explanations for that. One is that you have your insurance includes some kind of deductible and copay.
I mean beyond deductible.
Okay. The second is that the test itself includes lots of different steps, and it is conceivable that you had not realized that there are, in fact, costs associated with each of those steps. And when they add them all up, they send you an invoice or a claim. Now, one of the things that people don't take advantage of is that they can have a conversation and negotiate that price, whether they had it at a hospital or a doctor's office or
you mean after the fact?
After the fact. Absolutely.
But does the patient have to initiate that?
Yes. Because if you don't pay at all, if you ignore it, they're not very happy. But if you're willing to say, you know, gee, I didn't realize this was going to cost me $1,000, is there some way you can lower the price? Sometimes they'll do that. Or you can say, I don't have $1,000 now. I have maybe $20 a month I can give you. And you can negotiate that conversation.
And going back to that, you can negotiate it, which involves a couple of things. One, you have to know that that's an option, which is part of why we're doing this. And two, if you're negotiating like you would negotiate anything else, it really helps if you're coming from a place where you know what actually gets paid for these things, which is why I would argue that actually the non-disclosure agreements do matter. And I don't think that price fixing would be an issue. You don't see that happening in other industries where you have negotiable but also advertised prices that are closer to what folks expect to be paid. But having those numbers, even if it's after the fact, if it's after an emergency where you could not do anything beforehand to price shop, having those numbers after the fact could help somebody who's in that position where they can't afford what has been charged, and there is room for them to ask for something better and more fair.
You know, when we come back, because so much of this is about education, and we had, Sammy, you and I talked about the colonoscopy, when you get the polyp removed, when it is diagnostic versus preventive. A lot of this is about education, which we want to get more on when we come back. We're talking about Price Check Florida, or Price Check, which is a project of WLRN, WUSF, and Health News Florida with Sammy Mack, Linda Quick. A short break. We'll be right back.
And we return 48 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's topical occurrence. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. And we resume our conversation about Price Check with reporter Sammy Mack and also healthcare expert Linda Quick. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. And Bonnie, you have an emailer.
I do. Well, okay. Well, we have a couple. Peter wants to know, and this is an important point, it seems like employers could find employees' data posted on Price Check and discriminate.
No, I don't think that's going to happen, because aside from the date and what was paid, there is not any other identifying information. You don't know what plan it was. You don't know what we are not publishing what insurance company it was. There's no name attached to it.
Okay.
So if that is possible, if you can figure out how to do that, let me know, because I want to make sure that people
it's
are protected.
Not.
But that has not happened in the couple of years of this being around.
Okay.
And we'll move along to a couple of callers. Eric in Boca. Eric, you're up. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? I love the topic. I love the fact that you're trying to educate people on this. It's interesting. Long story short, sustained a knee injury a short while ago. And communicated with my insurance company, which is provided by an employer. It's a major insurance company. I won't mention which. But in my conversation with the advisor, they said that MRIs were not covered. So I went about looking for the least expensive options in terms of MRI, and that was a bit of an educational experience. Come to find out, in most cases, the large facilities charge more for MRIs, and it was recommended in the information I was reading to call around and ask for the cash price out of network, so which I did. The original price was quoted to me was, you know, anywhere from $1,200 to $2,000, and I wound up spending $200 for the same procedure cash out of uninsured. So that, you know, that's something that, you know, I understand that some people say, well, you know, my insurance company never told me what was covered and what wasn't covered, but you know, each individual person is responsible for doing the research themselves and figuring out what is covered and what's not covered. You can't really, you have to educate yourself. You have to go through the steps and make sure that, you know what it is that you're getting yourself into. Now I have a brace that I got from my doctor, which I got a bill from another company called Concentra, which I'd never heard of before. And there was no specific information on the bill. It was just some sort of arcane code. So I looked up the code, and only that way I was able to find it was actually a bill for a brace.
Okay, Linda.
When I looked up the code for the brace should retail for $120. The bill is for almost $500.
Yeah,
so, and there's no clear distinction.
Sammy, your comment on his.
I think Linda wanted to.
I'll let Linda go here.
Yeah.
I think probably one of my favorite things to do when I'm talking to large groups of people is to ask them how many people have insurance. And most of the people raise their hand, especially since Medicare is considered insurance. Most people raise their hand. And then I ask you to leave your hand up if you've read your policy. And there may be, Eric, maybe there are two or three people.
It's incomprehensible.
Okay. So most of us don't do that. So I would tell you that it's probably a pretty unusual policy that doesn't include MRIs, assuming it is, in fact, prescribed. A lot of these things, you can't just decide I need an MRI. You actually have to go to a doctor that prescribes it. But most of the time, they are covered, and you are definitely correct, as we said earlier, that you could get a whole range and host of them, of places and prices. And again, usually the prescribing physician will recommend a particular place, and most people don't second guess that.
Sammy?
And I just want to point out here, so a lot of what we've been talking about is about what these things cost to the individual who does or does not have insurance. There is a bigger conversation here about what this means for you as an employee who receives your insurance through an employer. One of the things that has sort of come out of some of the stories that we've done around this is that, first of all, most people are covered through an employer. That's how they get their insurance. Most of the people who have insurance, the biggest chunk of them that are covered through an employer. And for as much as we talk about choice, and this is a great example, this caller is a great example of somebody who shopped around. For most of us who get our insurance through an employer, part of that decision has already been made for you based on who is in the network, in the insurance policies that your employer is offering you. And there is a direct relationship between what your employer is paying for your benefits and how you get compensated for a lot of people. And so if you are listening to this wondering, well, whatever, I pay what my copay is and it's fine and it's done and it's over, we have seen examples where people have sort of taken for granted for years that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and tomorrow your insurance is, you know, next year your insurance costs are going to go up. But we're starting to see examples where employers are saying, we can't give you a raise, or a union has negotiated, we couldn't get you a raise this year, but your insurance is going to stay at cost to you. So there are bigger implications about your overall financial health beyond just what you are paying for an episode of care, for a visit to the doctor's office, to the emergency room, for whatever that is. It has real, even if you don't go to the doctor's office, how your coworkers are shopping around for their health care affects potentially what you are going to get paid next year.
What percentage of people receive their health insurance through their employer?
Linda, help me out. I think it's about 40%. Is it more than that?
It's about 45-47% here. It's lower than some other parts of the country.
You small mean South Florida?
Yes, small employers, which mostly our employers are, tend to be less inclined to purchase insurance for their employees than some of the major large employers. So almost all government employees get health insurance through their employment. Big companies get but the mom and pop operations, the 3 to 5 people offices, a lot of those do not do it. And when you ask them why they don't, they say they don't think it's their responsibility. And in fact, the law does not require small employers to buy it for you. What the law requires now is for you to have it. So you have to go buy it yourself. And that's why we have the marketplace, which I call Orbitz for healthcare. And you can go online and pick out the best insurance policy for you and your family.
This education thing I just want to get to because it's important. We were talking before the show, Sammy, yesterday, in fact, about you go for a colonoscopy, you think it's covered because it's preventative medicine, correct?
Right. Under the Affordable Care Act, a preventative colonoscopy should be at no cost to you. It's considered what's known as an essential health benefit, so something that your insurance should cover at no cost to you.
However, while you were getting this colonoscopy, they found a polyp.
Right.
And they removed the polyp, which then it becomes a diagnostic procedure.
It can become Okay. So this is kind of a gray area around medical coding, and we are getting way into the weeds.
Actually,
here.
If they remove the polyp, it's treatment.
Treatment.
But they do a biopsy of it. It's diagnostic.
The biopsy is diagnostic. The removal is treatment.
So there you go. So you've gone in. And by the way, about half of colonoscopies involve the removal of a polyp. So you're in this situation. You've gone in thinking that this is going to be at no cost to you. And then you wake up and you have a copay or coinsurance or whatever it's going to cost. So this is an issue of knowing your rights as a patient.
We're very close to the end of the program. So, Sammy, give us a thumbnail of how people can use Price Check.
All right, so check us out at WLRN.org/pricecheck. You can upload what you paid or what insurance paid on your behalf for your healthcare costs, and you can also search and see cash prices that are available in the area, and you can see what other people uploaded.
And they can also see how to do it tomorrow between 12 and 1.
Yes, I will see you live on Facebook. Find us at the WLRN Facebook page. We're going to be live. There will be a video of us just talking, so chime in.
Okay, so we're so sorry we couldn't get to more calls and emails. Linda Quick is the president of Quick Bernstein Connection Groups and the former president of South Florida Hospital and Healthcare Association, where she was for a couple of decades. And Sammy Max, an award-winning journalist who covers healthcare policy for WLRN, Miami Herald News. And we want to thank you so much for the information.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in. Again, apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Today's program produced by Polly Landis. Technical supervision from online producer Paul Leary. Richard Ives is lead producer. You may want to listen to this program again or pass it along to a friend or relative. We have free audio archives at our website, WLRN.org. Tomorrow's program is the story of the longest-held American hostage in history, Bob Levinson. His anxious family remains in Florida's Coral City, awaiting news for a possible return. He's a former FBI agent taken in Iran in 2007. New York Times reporter Barry Meyer has written about it. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next on Public Radio.